Hey guys, this is Justin Roran, pastor of Restoration Church, and like folks all over the world right now, we're dealing with the ramifications of the COVID-19 virus pandemic. We're not able to gather like all the other churches, and so you're hearing the podcast. It's still going to keep going, but it's going to be from our home, and it's going to be in congruence also with the video and online resources, and you can find those at restorationlex.com/online, ways to get connected in community, ways to serve in the middle of a very difficult time. So I encourage you to check that out. Again, it's restorationlex.com/online. Thanks for listening. When I was a kid growing up in church, we used to do memory verses where we would get a star on a chart, not metaphorically, like a literal star on a chart, if we memorized a verse. And one of my go-tos comes from John 11. Two words, shortest verse in the Bible, you probably know it. Jesus wept. The teachers kind of caught on after a while, but it's one of the first verses I remember because of that. And I didn't think about it for a long time, but as an adult, the older I get, the more I find out that even though that's the shortest verse in the Bible, it could be one of the most profound in the way that it reveals the heart of God and his character in moments like this. You see, we find this verse in John chapter 11. And in this story, we found out about Mary and Martha and Lazarus, their siblings, who we find out are very close to Jesus. And in the story, Mary and Martha, they're sending for Jesus because Lazarus is about to die. So they want Jesus to come and to bring healing over his body. And Jesus does something really odd. He stays where he's at for 2 days. Intentionally. So Lazarus dies, Jesus is absent, he's not there, and the faith of these two sisters are tested. And sure, he tells the disciples that, yeah, the sickness will not end in death. He says that, I'm glad that you're going to be able to see this, that I wasn't there, because you're going to be able to see the glory of God. But it's one thing to hear those promises when you're away from the situation. It's another thing to be the one whose brother or sister or family member has died. It's another thing when it's your tears, when Jesus offers these words. And so when he arrives and Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days at that point, the Jews are around him weeping, around Mary and Martha weeping. And their tradition, they would at least mourn together for a week. And he walks up into the midst of these tears and this grief and the sting of death. And in the story, Mary and Martha, they bring him this very, very honest statement. They say to Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. That's some honesty. That's not pretending at all. That's a bold, honest statement. That's an expression of grief. That's an expression of longing. It's even an expression of disappointment. Right there with Jesus, they were not afraid to name what they felt. I saw this article a few weeks back from the Harvard Business Review, and the article was titled, That Discomfort You Feel is Grief. And it was a helpful exploration of the raw emotions that many Americans right now are feeling. Many of these emotions, maybe some of us have not felt this fully, or maybe ever before in this season of crisis. And it's so helpful in naming and owning our emotions, naming and owning our responses that are welling up within us as we look around at the death and the dying and the suffering in our world, in our time of heartache. You know, the scriptures, they remind us the same thing, that we should name our grief. We should feel the freedom to speak out our grief, our suffering, our longings, and bring these things not just to the surface of our own cognitive understanding, but to bring these griefs and longings and doubts and questions directly to God. And Jesus shows us in the story something that's important for our time. Jesus shows us that God is not afraid of our hard questions. He's not afraid of our longings. He's not afraid of our pain. He's not scared off by it. In fact, what we see in this story is that he actually welcomes our questions. He welcomes our hard emotions. He welcomes our longings. He gives Martha, in response to this statement, a promise, and we're going to touch on that promise on Sunday. But when he comes to Mary, who says the very same thing, he responds differently. You see, the passage tells us that Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And in the Greek, we get a lot more clarity about what this actually means beyond just deeply troubled, because it wasn't something that was passive, like I'm sitting around thinking about how troubled I am about this. In the Greek, it means indignation. It means rage. It means he is angry in this moment. He is angry at suffering. He's angry at the pain that his friends that he loves so much are feeling. I don't know if you've ever been so angry before that you've cried. That's what Jesus is feeling in this moment. He is so angry at the sting of death, at the reality that is being faced by those he loved, that he's welling up with tears and emotion. He does not sit on high, detached. He does not try to correct them theologically. Instead, he sits with them in their suffering. He sits with them in their tears. And Jesus, it says, weeps. He weeps with them. You know, many of us in times like this, the most natural question is to say, why? Why is all of this happening? Why are we experiencing this onset of death and grief? Why, perhaps, is God allowing this to happen? Well, what I want to offer you today is what I believe to be the most correct theological answer to that question. Here it is. The answer to why this is happening, to why God might allow something like this to happen, the correct theological answer in this moment is, I don't know. I don't know. And you don't know. And it's a question that we may not be able to answer on this side of eternity. But here's what we can know in these moments. What we can know is where God is in the midst of the suffering. Where God is in the midst of our crying and our tears and our death that we're experiencing all around us. Where is God in this? This story shows us that in our suffering, God is with us. He is Emmanuel. Psalms 34:18 tells us that God is near to the brokenhearted. If you want to know where God is, go where people's hearts are broken and you will find him with them. And in Jesus, with Mary and Martha, what we see is that the God of the universe does not stand idly by, does not stay up in the clouds, up in heaven, far away in the midst of our pain, but instead he cries those tears with us. He weeps in that mourning with us. He shares the weight of our pain. Isaiah 53 is a passage that on Good Friday we often remember. It says this, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Not only can we have confidence in these days that God suffers with us, that he weeps with us, that he cries with us, but we can know that in this passage we see that Jesus is himself the man of sorrows who's acquainted with grief. He knows what suffering is like, but that man of sorrows does not just suffer with us. The scriptures show us the man of sorrows. He suffers for us. He bears our pain. He bears our sin on the cross. The scriptures tell us that all of this death and all of this mourning and all of this brokenness we see in the world are the result of sin. So God, instead of sitting idly by, sends his son to take upon our flesh, to take upon our struggles, our suffering, and even as Philippians 2 says, taking upon our humanity even to the point of death. And on the cross, my friends, Jesus bore our every sin. He bore our every shame. He bore our fears. He bore our failures. He absorbed all of this within himself. He took the cost upon himself. And in his death, he destroyed both the power and the penalty of our sin once and for all. And he did this for you. He did this for me. Today's Good Friday, and so we remember that Jesus took our sufferings on the cross. So we can remember in these moments that when we suffer, God suffers with us, that God suffers for us. We can know in these moments that there's no sorrow that is so deep that God's love and God's presence is not deeper still. And so we can take our sins, we can take our fears, we can take our hard questions and our grief and our tears, and we can take them to the cross where Jesus died to bring life in the midst of death. There is darkness around us, yes. And tonight, as we look upon this Good Friday, we sit in that darkness. We remember in grief that God Himself gave His life, that He died for us. But we do this with a promise that even in the darkness, we know that the dawn is on its way. We know that even though we experience the pain and the reality of suffering in our world, Jesus gets up in the midst of John 11 with his eyes still wet from tears, and he walks towards resurrection. Tonight we remember his sacrifice, we remember his death, and we center our hearts on this God who comes to suffer with us and suffer for us. And so, God, tonight, as we sit under your word, as we sit under the power of your Spirit speaking to us, revealing to us the beauty and the glory of the cross, would you envelop us in this mystery? And God, where we have hard questions, where we have grief, where we have whys, would you remind us of where you are? That in our pain and grief, you suffer with us. And on the cross, you suffered for us that we might experience the fullness of life, so that we could overcome Satan, sin, and death once and for all. Tonight, we remember. We pray this in the name of Jesus that overcome all of our sin and shame. Amen. Well, tonight, as we remember the cross on Good Friday, we also remember, as many have said for years and years, that Sunday is coming. And so, in your grief tonight, if we can pray with you about anything whatsoever, I encourage you to go to our page, restorationlex.com/online, and share those requests. You can fill out a connect card. You can contact us and let us know how we can pray for you. If you want to take that next step of faith in following Jesus for the first time, please let us know so we can help you take that step of faith. We love you guys. It is Good Friday, but as the saints have always said, Sunday is coming. We'll see you soon.